IFM liked the idea. We launched the school about 3 years ago, and zero business experience, had no idea what I was doing. And all around me, all of my friends and colleagues were retiring. And so rather than do that, I launched this new career.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes that we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. Dr. Sandra Sheinbaum was 65 years old when she decided to found her business, the Functional Medicine Coaching Academy. She saw a need and she saw how her skills would be able to complement something that is so imperative to our successful changes in health behavior, which is our own need for coaches. Sandra approached the Institute for Functional Medicine and said, look, I have a background as a teacher, as a psychotherapist, as someone who can develop curriculum. I can teach people to be coaches for your practitioners. The rest, as they say, is history. What's so incredible about this interview is that we touched on all of these different elements of behavior change, not just from a perspective of what's valuable for a practitioner, but how do you as an individual, as someone who is super busy, find the key elements that are going to help you to be successful in actually addressing and changing your health? We got into all sorts of elements of coaching, but most importantly, we got into how to leverage them to take your life forward. We all have very good intentions. We got into this notion of the intention behavior gap. How do we get to that place where we are aligning our actions every single day with our deepest desires to lose weight, get to the gym, and sleep more often? This is a fascinating interview if you are looking to understand how to leverage your own business, how to leverage a coach in your life, but the basics in terms of how to move your life forward. I was absolutely inspired by the story, the way of living, and her commitment to this notion of making coaches part of everyone's health journey. Dr. Sandra Sheinbaum has so much to teach you, and it is my pleasure to share her with you now. Dr. Sandra Sheinbaum, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you, Megan. I'm excited to be here today.
Well, I am so interested in sharing with our listeners the details about what you have created, the Functional Medicine Coaching Academy. Before we get into that, I think what sets the stage and context for all of these conversations is really understanding the journey of my guests. So can you take us through your career and the personal influences that brought you to this place where you co-founded this amazing organization?
Sure. Well, I'll give you the abridged version because I'm old, so I have a lot, I would have a lot to talk about. So I started many years ago in early 70s thinking I was going to be a teacher. And it didn't work out so well because I didn't do such a good job controlling my classroom when I was student teaching. And so I wasn't going to get a good grade and knew then that my employment opportunities were pretty limited because it was very hard in those days to get a job as a teacher. So very upset. What am I going to do? And so I decided I would go into studying learning disabilities. So I got my master's and I thought that I could work one-on-one with kids and learned how to diagnose, how to remediate learning disabilities. And so I was a teacher in special education. I taught at a college level how to teach kids with special needs. And that, because of that, I became really interested in psychology and what we called behavior management in those days. So I got my PhD and was interested from there in mind-body medicine. How does the body and mind work together? And back in those days, that was a pretty radical idea. And I was always pretty much of a renegade. So at that time, the world was psychoanalytic in psychology. And I was, again, more interested in new emerging ways of helping people get well, like mind-body medicine, positive psychology, back before it didn't even have a name in those days. And I was also interested in nutrition. So when I had my practice as a psychologist for about 35 years or so, I was blending all of these ways of helping someone find well-being, focusing on what's right, not what's wrong with them, which is what positive psychology is, using biofeedback, which is a mind-body medicine modality, and then integrating questions like, what do you eat? And I happened to come upon the Institute for Functional Medicine, so I got certified. And then I looked at where I was. I was 65 at the time, and I was always kind of restless and wanting something new, new adventure. And I used to think that was ADD, but from a strengths perspective, it's really can be an asset. So with zero business experience, I pitched the idea to the Institute for Functional Medicine of collaborating with them to start a school online to train coaches so that they could work with the functional medicine doctors. So IFM liked the idea. We launched the school about 3 years ago, and zero business experience, had no idea what I was doing. And all around me, all of my friends and colleagues were retiring. And so rather than do that, I launched this new career.
I'm sitting here with a smile on my face because I feel like this is the spirit of entrepreneurism at its best, right? There's this culmination and coming together of all these skills and interests, and you're like, I have to do it. What was the hardest part of launching the academy?
Well, it was taking a risk, and I had taken a series of risks during my career. I left out the part that at one time when I was bored with teaching before I got my doctorate, I decided I would become a commodities trader because I'm in the Chicago area.
Oh my gosh.
Chicago Mercantile Exchange was big then. So I was in the pits. I pictured like trading pork bellies with these huge ex-football players all around me, if you ever saw pictures of the trading pits. That was all about taking risk. So I kind of liked that idea. And my number one character strength is zest, getting really excited about things. But in launching the Functional Medicine Coaching Academy, it was challenging without having a sense of how to launch a business, how to run a business, how to make decisions, especially how to hire and fire, how to build a team. So that was where I learned I needed lots and lots of support, particularly when it came to making financial decisions. Those are things that, I was in solo practice as a psychologist, and it was super easy to run that business. I didn't have to make those kind of business decisions. So I'm kind of learning on the job, learning by doing.
And it's funny because as you're telling me this, and I'm listening to the things that were intimidating to you, if that's the right word, and in listening and in looking at what you have created, what's intimidating to me is it seems like there would have been a lot of content to create. Did that take a huge amount of time? Was that one of the things that intimidated you?
Oh, yes. And all the it didn't intimidate me. I loved it. I thrive on creating PowerPoints and figuring things out creatively. So developing the curriculum was what I loved. I put together all the pieces that I had trained in. So I blended functional medicine, positive psychology, mind-body medicine, psychology of eating. That's what we teach. So then I was always pretty disciplined because I was a good student. And so studying was something that came easy to me. So I'm good at sitting down and creating a PowerPoint. And I loved doing that. But as the people listening will know, if you're an entrepreneur, were, it's hours and hours. So I would spend, you know, all weekend just working on this and all week creating. But once I finished it, it was something that I could be proud of. And the other thing that I learned, both with the curriculum development as well as with the company development, if it's not asking how, but who. And so I've transitioned to, instead of thinking when I first started the company, how can I do this? Thinking I can have to do it. Now I'm thinking who can do it for me. And that's working really well. But, and that's been really challenging because as someone who was, again, in solo private practice for years and not used to running a team and building this organization, now reaching out. So I don't have to know so much about the finances. We now have a virtual CFO. And so I can turn to him for that information.
I love that. That's such an enlightened entrepreneurial way of thinking in that you don't have to do it all yourself. And that's when you scale, is when you shift away from you needing to be all things to your business. So I love that that you had that wisdom so early in your entrepreneurial career.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks to Joe Polish at the Genius Network, who's a genius marketer, for that bit of wisdom. And that was the other thing that I learned, that I invested in mastermind groups and working with other people who were also in the same space as I was, building businesses. And we all shared the same frustrations. And that's how I dealt with those challenges, by reaching out to others and brainstorming together.
Yeah, so let's delve into that, because we're going to talk about functional medicine and we're going to talk about the academy. But let's back up here to this whole purpose, which is, and your commentary there, where you invested in yourself and you had masterminds and you had coaches and you had people around you who helped to move you forward. What were some of the core areas that you invested in?
Well, I think first and foremost, I made a commitment that no matter how busy I was, there are certain rituals that I have in a given day. So I start out the day with yoga. And I never was someone who liked to meditate, even though the research is great and this is what I would be advocating in terms of a mind-body medicine practice. But I slow down my breathing when I'm doing headstands and handstands and a more rigorous practice, listening to loud music. And that just feels good in the morning. And so I always carve out time for that. I carve out time in the middle of the day when the weather's nice. In the Chicago area, you take every opportunity when it's warm and sunny to get out and take a walk. So Barbara Fredrickson calls this prioritizing positivity. She's a positive psychology researcher. And just building in those activities during the day that are guaranteed to put you in a good mood.
Yeah.
And that's just restorative. So that was my first priority, was self-care. I wasn't going to compromise that. And then the second is to look at, you know, really learning to have a team provide support and giving them more and more responsibility. So areas that I didn't have much experience in, I would give to others. And that's really helped. And then I think probably the overarching most beneficial area is my thoughts. So it's so easy to worry and look at what if, you know, what if we don't get enough students in the next class? What if, it's endless what if about. And so I would approach that by looking back and look at how many things we had already done successfully as a business. And that really helped to focus on, it's a little trick where you turn what if into so what. Okay, so what if? And you go to the worst thing. What's the worst thing? What if the business were to get into real trouble and God forbid we had to close down? Well, I've been there before. In the early 90s, I ran a huge group practice with some psychiatrists, and we had a lot of social workers and psychologists working for us. And we were overcommitted, and the business wasn't working out, had personality conflicts with the psychiatrist. We ended up closing shop. And you know what? My life wasn't over, but at the time, I sure thought it was. And I thought, how will I ever recover from this? but I did. And now it's just, I don't even remember it.
I love that. It's spoken from the true wisdom of experience and having having been there. So let's talk about the let's talk about functional medicine and your discovery of that. And then let's talk about this notion of leveraging coaches, both for individuals, how to leverage a coach effectively to move your commitments to health forward, but then conversely, how practitioners can leverage coaches in their practice. And if you're not a practitioner, I think it speaks to how we leverage people in our businesses in general. So you talked about this in your psychology practice very early on. You started to ask people what they ate. You started to really recognize the influence of those other lifestyle factors in terms of their psychology. How did you get into functional medicine?
Well, it was happenstance. I happened to get a flyer, an email that this organization called the Institute for Functional Medicine was having a conference. And I always looked for conferences in nice, warm places. And this happened to be their theme was about treating depression with functional medicine approach. And it was in Florida. And so I thought, oh, this will be nice. It was in a nice hotel. And I thought, okay, I can use that getaway. So I went down and right off the bat, I was hooked. And I didn't understand half of it because it was really deep science. But what I did get, because I'm in all of these conferences, I was always the only psychologist. This is primarily for medical doctors. But what they were talking about was profound. The idea that rather than just labeling, let's take depression, which was my area, or anxiety, rather than just labeling them that and then how are we going to treat it, looks at why do you have depression and what else is going on? So maybe you have digestive issues. Maybe you have skin issues as well. So they look at all of these conditions and not treating them separately as if they're separate silos, but as a connected system. And then they look at why. In the case of depression, it could be maybe it's you don't have enough vitamin D. Maybe you don't have enough omega-3s because you don't eat any fish. Maybe you eat too much fish in the form of sushi and you have mercury. So it's a heavy metal issue. And so functional medicine is looking at root causes. And what would all of those root causes dial down to? It's often inflammation. That would be the root cause, for example. And then you look at, okay, how can we start intervening? And we start intervening with simple diet lifestyle changes first. Are you getting enough sleep? What are you eating? Well, what's your movement during the day? What's your relationship with other people? What are those relationships like? So those are the areas that are addressed in functional medicine. But the problem is that doctors often don't have enough time and they weren't trained in behavior change theory. In other words, they're the experts. And so they're used to saying to somebody, here's the treatment, here's the exercise plan, here's the diet. Now, basically, go back and do it. But we know, unlike the Nike slogan, just do it, you know, why don't people just do it? Well, it's hard. They fall off the wagon. Life intervenes. They're stressed. They maybe need more information. Or they are just having difficulty sustaining. Maybe they start out like gangbusters and then it's hard to sustain those changes. And that's where coaches come in. And so that is the perfect match. When you have a doctor who is doing the diagnostic part, who is developing the plan, and that might be maybe there's some supplements, starting out with, you know, what would be the best approach, combination of lifestyle change, supplements as necessary, so even a medical procedure. And then the coach is there to support that individual on this journey towards change. So they start by asking questions like, what matters most to you? What gives you so much joy? If you were well, if you didn't have any pain anymore, what would your life be like? Where would you want to be? Where do you see yourself ideally in 10 years? So now let's look at how we can formulate some goals. Where would you like to start? You know, Dr. So-and-so has laid this out for you, but a coach would say, I want to know what you think. Where would you like to start in this process?
Yeah. So I have a nutritionist in my practice, and she is instrumental to actually getting the results for my patients. So she supports all of the implementation pieces. And when people leverage both of us, their outcomes are vastly different than when people are trying to do it all on their own. This is a different way of addressing health and medicine. And I agree with you. It is so important that you have somebody else in your corner to handhold you through that that process. Tell us a little bit about your program. So what is it that your coaches are learning and then implementing on the other side?
Sure. So our program is all online. It's a one-year program, and it is taught by all of the faculty from the Institute for Functional Medicine. So they learn functional medicine principles, because functional medicine, I want to be clear, we're not teaching them to be doctors. It's not they're practicing medicine. Functional medicine is really a way of thinking, not a way of practicing medicine necessarily. So they are learning these essential principles, and we pair them with the field of positive psychology. That was my training, and that's what I brought to the program. And positive psychology is looking at what makes life worth living. How do you live a good life? How do you flourish? And it comes down to having positive emotions and engagement and relationships and meaning and purpose and something that you're doing that you love, that you're achieving something in. And so we teach our coaches how to listen to somebody's story and access their strengths. And that's how they make change. And then we also blend in all the components of mind-body medicine, breathing, mindfulness, how to slow down and really focus on the way of getting into a quieting response as opposed to an agitated, stressful response. And then we add in also the whole functional nutrition piece, various food plans developed by the Institute for Functional Medicine. So since we are their collaborating partner, we use all of their resources. So the program attracts people who have been in the healthcare space as a practitioner. We have a whole range of occupations ranging from doctors, pharmacists, nutritionists. We have yoga instructors, Pilates instructors, as well as lots and lots of career changers. We have people who are in high-level executive positions who are or burned out. We have accountants and PR specialists, people who worked in the corporate arena, and they just want to change. And they all say something similar. They've worked so hard. Now they just want to pursue their passion. And the common thread of all of our students is they're doing this to fulfill their purpose, to really serve others, often because they've had a health crisis themselves. They found the power of functional medicine, and now they want to give back. Many of them are able to blend it with their current career, so they don't do a complete switch, but they gradually take on a few clients because they love it.
Yeah, I love it. The one thing you said there was you mentioned they're living their purpose. And for both my patients and in when we hire members of our team, I think it's the most important question that I ask people is what is your purpose? And when people are clear on it, they're accelerating. They have access to momentum in unprecedented ways. So I love that you mentioned that. And I love that it's a component that so many of your coaches are living.
Meaning and purpose is so fundamental to living a good life, to also helping others create change. And behind meaning and purpose is how do you get a meaning and purpose? Mm-hmm. And it usually comes from belonging. And that's what we also hear, that once our students are part of our community, they feel like they belong. They feel like they've found people who are like-minded, who understand them, that they can give and be and also receive support. And that feeling is just so powerful. And most of the people who come through our program will describe, first and foremost, their own personal journey of transformation. As they learn how to coach, they're now applying these principles back to themselves and their families.
Yeah, it is. It's so powerful when you've walked that journey yourself already. And are most of these coaches, are they working as their own solo business owners? Are they joining practices? What does that journey look like for individuals who've come through your program?
Lots of options. It runs the gamut. We have some who are entrepreneurial spirits. They love marketing. They love putting themselves out there, and they are building their practices. And there's many things they can do. They can give community talks. They can appear on media. They can write blogs. They can build their own business. They can join another bunch of coaches or nutritionists. But many people want to work with doctors. And that's the model we think is emerging. We at IFM, they are really emphasizing the value of working with a coach for a doctor. There's a lot of research on this. That when you add a coach to your practice, it benefits the doctor, it benefits the patients, and it benefits their bottom line. So it really is a win-win. And now we have a board certification for health and wellness coaches. And this is opening the door in more traditional arenas for more conventional medical practices, and large hospital systems are also picking up on the idea of hiring coaches because we have national board certification here now.
Yeah, I really love that idea. I talk about this when I'm working with practitioners on business development, and that is you really don't want to be the technicians and the day in and day out cheerleaders of your patients, because they never get to experience the full breadth of what you can offer if all you're ever trying to do is convince people to stick to that gluten-free diet or make these small incremental changes. It really devalues what everyone does in that ecosystem. So I love it. I love what you're doing. In looking at the patients or clients that your coaches are working with, what are some of the common elements that individuals are running up against when they're trying to put these lifestyle changes into play? Like, I certainly see some things in my practice, but I know for the people who are listening to us, they're like, okay, listen, I really want to eat well. I really want to lose some weight. I really want to do X, Y, or Z, but they can't stick with it. From your perspective, what are some of the things that get in the way of people's success?
So it's often external pressures. We talk about this in psychology of eating. When you sit down to a meal, it's not just you, but it's your family, it's your friends, your culture. So it's very challenging to go against that. So I was, I'm Jewish, and I was at a Passover Seder, and I had to overcome the feeling of embarrassment because I was the only one. I didn't eat the matzah because of gluten. I didn't eat the, you know, there was everything there. I took a little bit on the plate and kind of stirred it around, but it was, how can I don't want to eat gluten, and I don't want to eat a sugary dessert, and on and on. And so making that choice to stand out as an oddball was difficult, and many people will cave into societal pressure or to, well, only one time, it's a holiday and you have to do it, it's a ritual, it's a religious observance, so what's wrong? And so they'll have this dialogue and they'll in their head and will eventually cave in to that pressure out of feelings of embarrassment or shame. They don't want to stand out, they want to fit in. So often socially that will, you know, oh, come on, just one bite, it's okay to go off your diet once. Yeah, we hear all that. That's why one thing. The other is all the conflicting information out there. Now, every time you pick up a newspaper or see a report on TV, like, people don't know what to eat and they're very confused. And a coach doesn't tell people eat this, not that, but they help them sort it out and figure out by keeping food diaries, how do you feel after you eat this way? They help them will come to their own conclusions to personalize it, that they don't have to just adopt a diet plan because it's a fad right now. They can look at what's right for them. And that's the main really strength of coaching, of working with a coach, is that you become the CEO of your own health. A coach helps you feel empowered to make those decisions on your own.
Yeah, I totally love that. And so with your background in psychology, if we've got people listening, they're like, all right, I get it. I'm going to have to find a coach, but I need something I can do today. Because like yesterday I was committed to it, and like the day before I was committed to it, and I'm not following through. Is there a simple mindset, or is there a question that people can start to ask themselves before they make a health decision that you have found in your experience is helpful to realign them to their commitment?
Sure. So there's something called an intention behavior gap. And that means every day, or you go to bed, you might think, oh, tomorrow will be different. Tomorrow I'm going to start the day out right. Or like I'm not going to have that snack in the middle of the day. And then the middle of the day comes and there's that behavior, that gap between your intention and following through with it. So how can you distract yourself? What can you replace it with? That going back to the idea of prioritizing positivity. So maybe if you schedule something that is compelling, that is going to be so much more enjoyable. So if you ever notice that, you know, for example, I'm very focused right now in this conversation. So for the period of time that we've been talking, a thought of food didn't even cross my mind. So what is that for you, where you know in that circumstance you wouldn't have that snack? Where would you be? And then you put yourself in that environment that is going to help provide that structure for you. Another technique is what we call 20 seconds of courage. So can you, for 20 seconds, take some deep breaths before you make that choice to have that snack.
I like that. It just causes you to actually pause. And I often will say to my patients, I want you to just really quickly triage, is this decision going to spiral my health forward or spiral it down? And usually when you can create that gap in that space, you can answer that question with a little more honesty.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. That is that's really good. Where have you leveraged coaches in your own life?
So it is for a business coach, particularly. So coaches can be, coaching came out of life coaching, and health coaching emerged from life coaching. Life coaching emerged from humanistic psychotherapy. So as I've had a humanistic psychotherapy approach, worked with a therapist years ago, and then life coaches, business coaches. So the process is exactly the same. So many of your listeners may have experience working with a life coach, and many of them are trained in positive psychology. But if it's a health issue, it is having that specialization in working with your health issues.
Yeah, I love it. Sandra, what do you want your legacy to be?
So I want to have a health coach in every doctor's office, and I want to be remembered for that's my mission and purpose in life, to help end the human suffering from this tsunami of chronic illness. We are rolling out a course for coaches with Dr. Dale Bredesen that will teach coaches the protocol for helping clients prevent or reverse Alzheimer's, which is Dr. Dale Bredesen's protocol. And if we can make any inroad in that, I would be absolutely thrilled.
Amazing. How do you define health?
Health is, we often think health is the absence of disease, but health is really a sense of well-being. It is waking up every day with vitality, with a sense of, again, it's having that meaning and purpose, having joy. That is really, you know, so it's health to feel contented. And they've done some studies on people even with Alzheimer's and or chronic illness with cancer, multiple medical issues, and they describe themselves as healthy. And you think, well, how could that be? And it's because it's possible to live a life, a good life, despite having these chronic conditions. So that is really the true meaning of health, because someone can have absence of any disease and still feel pretty miserable every day and have no energy.
Yeah, I've seen that in my own practice where some of my quote unquote healthiest patients are terminal, and I say maybe short-term terminal because there's a terminality to all of us. But you're right, when that psychology is in the right place, there's a vitality to people, and it's a very distinguishing feature when you start to pull where people's health is really really at. I really like that description. Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. When you know better, you can do better. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/Anthropology quiz. This is a really nice place to transition to the second component of the interview. And this is called our KPIs, or key performance indicators. And these are really quick snapshots of an individual's performance in their own life and how they maintain their level of performance on a day-to-day basis. So I've got a few quick rapid-fire questions for you, if you will indulge me.
Sure. Fire away.
Perfect. Do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share?
Yes, I do a Ashtanga yoga practice. It always includes handstands.
That's amazing. Fiction or nonfiction, what are you reading right now?
I am reading fiction, The Great Alone. Love it.
Great. I have nonfiction comes up so frequently with people, so I'm always fascinated to hear about some good fiction options.
Love it.
Yeah, we're going to put that in the show notes. That's great. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
I'm consistent with working out. My Apple Watch, my movement goal, I meet every single day.
Good for you. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Well, I'm a risk taker. Those years trading commodities, I don't think people would know that I was in the pork belly pits with all those male traders.
And what I love about it is you're tiny. And you're really tiny, and I love it. Not like in stature. And what I love about it is I'm trying to picture this scenario, and like that is just totally badass in and of itself. What do you do for fun or play?
Well, I go shopping. people like to meditate. Well, I meditate at a store. that will take me away. Nothing feels better to me than going in the store. And my appreciation of beauty and excellence is my top strength. And so I just love the beauty of gorgeous clothes and just looking at them, even if I don't buy them.
I love that truth. And last question for you, Sandra. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think we can learn. So I never imagined I was an entrepreneur. And when I was much younger, I was not, that was never something I imagined. And I was not someone who was selling lemonade and having those business plans.
I love this journey and this story that you've been on. I found it incredibly inspiring. Dr. Sandra Scheinbaum, thank you so much for being here. Where can people find out a little bit more about what you're up to?
Sure. They can go to functionalmedicinecoaching.org.
Awesome. And we'll hook everyone up in the show notes. Thanks so much for taking your time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure talking with you.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.